How many of you are so thrilled to be back? And some of you are still watching online. God bless you. Our online church and our indoors church. How many of you are glad to be back? Right. Praise the Lord. Keep on praying. God can answer those prayers. More Him, less me. That's what Pastor Rod chose as a series for this next three studies. And so I was praying, and I didn't expect Pastor Rod to be here, but I'm so glad he's here. And I'm going to share what God laid on my heart. And the thing that God put on my heart long before we knew it's going to be a series was this: beating all the odds. How many of us can look back on 2020 and say, yes, that's what we did? You're not sure, okay? And as I was thinking of that, I thought to myself, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and 14 is a good, I'm going to preach on those two chapters. I won't touch on everything, but you can read it as you go. What are the odds that you can walk into a casino and walk out filthy rich? Absolutely right. Most people walk away from a casino dead broke. Many people take lottery tickets and they want to win $3 million and $10 million and they're just wasting their money. Don't waste your money. If you want to throw it away there, give it to God. Right. Give it to God. Because His kingdom is more important than our kingdom. What are the odds of Abraham having a son at 100 and Sarah at 90? What are the odds? Absolutely. What were the odds of Moses securing the freedom of the Israelite captives from Egypt? How many times he tried? What were the odds of a virgin giving birth to the Savior of the world? Look at it. What are the odds of the crucified Christ being resurrected on the cross to save us forever, being the Savior of the world? What are the odds of Jesus coming back again, returning to this earth in 2021? I know after 2020, you're looking forward to Jesus coming now, isn't it? Well, actually, I believe God uses all that to drive us closer to Him. However, we often look at the odds before we decide whether God can do something about our situation or not. Very often when we face a situation or a circumstance, we look at those things rather than looking at God. Isn't that right? For most Christians, if you're honest, absolutely. I've done it too. And I have to correct myself and say, stop looking at that, look at me. In Him we have all the answers. We forget that God is much bigger than all the odds that we face. God can and does often go against all the odds to do the impossible. If you've not proven that, my prayer is that 2021 will make that happen in your life. God can go way beyond our imagination and our ability and do the impossible. We must learn to simply trust God. In not some circumstances, but in every circumstance. I want to remind you of Matthew, he recorded this. I'm just going to give you the verse. In 19 and verse 26, Jesus looked at the disciples after the rich man rejected what Jesus said to him and went away, sorrowful. Jesus looked intently at his disciples and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, some things are possible. Who said amen? You didn't hear me right. I said, with God, all things are possible, not some things. And if you're facing something that you think, oh, this is impossible for God to do anything in this, I want to assure you, He can. But he's looking forward first for us to trust him. If we don't trust him, nothing is possible. What are the odds against Israel? In chapter 13, that Sienna just read a passage of it for us. What are the odds of that happening? God delivering the Philistines into the hands of the Israelites in those two chapters. And I want to go quickly through this. I've only got a few minutes. I'll try my best. I want you to look at the capacity in chapter 13. In verse 5, we notice that the capacity of the Israelite enemy, the Philistines. In verse 5, it says, the Philistines mustered a mighty army of 300 chariots. Look at the magnitude of this that they were facing. 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, those are the people who drive them, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. Countless. They camped at Michmash, east of Bethaven. Now, this is what the Israelites were facing, the Philistines. Not only when David came with a little sling and hit the giant, but here they are still back again. Israel, when they saw this, they were incapacitated with fear. What would you have done? Be honest. You would have been trembling too. Most of us would have been trembling too. But in verses 6 and 7, we notice that the men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in, like we were last year. They were hard-pressed by the enemy. They tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. This is verse 6, 1 Samuel 13. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad, and they ran. They tried to hide in the rocks and caves and everything to try to escape. They were incapacitated with fear. How many times have we been, paralyzed with fear? Looking at the situation ahead of us. Looking at the situation we find ourselves in. And I'm sure that you can go back through 2020 and say, yes, I've had those moments in my life. And that is why the Lord says, fear not, fear not, fear not, constantly. But if you go on to verses 8 to 14, I'm not reading everything, I'm just reading this. His men, Saul's men, stayed in Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. I want you to imagine this army standing there with their knees knocking and their weapons shaking, and they're all terrified at meeting the Philistines. Because, look at it, 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, two in each chariot, and the countless army in front of them, waiting to charge in. I'm sure I would have done that too. But they didn't realize that there is a God who is greater than that army. In verse 11, Samuel said, "What is this you have done?" Because Saul jumped the gun, started doing things that he should not have done. And many times in our lives too, instead of going to God and asking God to guide us and doing what he wants us to do, sometimes he asks us to do things that are irrational as far as our minds are concerned. But remember, he's God and we are not. But Saul couldn't wait anymore for Samuel to come. He decided, I'm going to do what has to be done. And Samuel said, what is this? When he came, he said, what is this you've done, Saul? I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive, Saul saying, when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash, ready for battle. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. How foolish, Samuel explained. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. You know, if we don't do what God wants us to do, He will bypass us. Compromise and disobedience in the leadership. Saul, in verses 8 to 14, the leader that God had placed there, he compromised the people of God and he disobeyed what God had commanded him to do. But then we find in verses 15 and 16, there was apathy among God's people too. And I tell you something, this is what the church needs to do in 2021. I'm not talking about, well, maybe BBC too. It's a great church, I can say. But the Church of Jesus in Australia, worldwide, needs to get out of their apathy and get on fire for God. Otherwise, we will never see the kingdom of God established in its power, like we read about it in the New Testament. If God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever, what's holding His hand? I'll tell you, us. We are holding the hand of God. In verses 15 and 16, we notice here, Samuel left Gilgal and went away on his way. And when Saul counted the men who were still with him, he found that there were only 600 left. Look at the apathy. Everyone ran away. They ran into the caves, the hills, the rocks, and some went away to another place just to escape because they didn't realize who God was to them. Do you know God? Do you know the power of God that can do what we cannot imagine Him to do? He's looking for people today, not people who are apathetic. And my call to the people of God here at Beaconsfield is, if we fall in that bracket, let's say, Lord, forgive us. Help us not to be apathetic. Help us not to compromise. Help us not to be disobedient to your voice. As you speak to us, help us to obey you and trust you. And in verses 17 and 18, we'll read in that chapter, but the enemy can see what's going on in the camp opposite them. They're waiting to attack. They had three parties go out in three different directions, and they were going to attack. You'll read that in verses 17 and 18. But then we find that God's people are very ill-equipped at this point when all these groups are coming from different directions to attack the people of God. They were very ill-equipped. And the Church of Jesus Christ is very ill-equipped today, worldwide. I'll tell you why. Statistics show us that more than 80% of Christians do not read the Word of God every day. That's shocking, isn't it? Even if I took a census here, we'll find how many of us read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, feed our souls on the Word of God, take it as God's Word for us today. How many of us would do that every day? My dad had a rule when we were growing up as children. No Bible, no breakfast. Everyone criticized Dad for that, and we thought they were right too. But I tell you something. It stuck with me today. I don't have my breakfast till I read the Word of God. And I feed myself with the Word of God. And I'm challenging everyone here and all those listening out there. If you say your name, you are a Christian, you are following Jesus, I'm challenging you today to take up this thing and say, I want to feed myself on the Word of God. How can we face the enemy if we do not know the Word of God? We know bits and pieces, but we do not know what God is saying to us. We do not know God. The only way to get to know God is through the study of His Word and through the inspiration and power of the Holy Spirit who inspired the writers to write that. Only He can make it real to us. You'll read this, that how ill-equipped the people of God were because they used to take all their instruments and all the things they needed for warfare to the opposition, to the Philistine people who had all the equipment to help them. Now they were stuck. They had no one to help them. You can read that in verses 19 to 23. I've painted a very bad picture of God's people, isn't it? But there's always a bright spark somewhere. And I've got a bright spark here in chapter 14. Jonathan. Anyone know who Jonathan is? Sorry, you got masks on. All right, good on you. Saul's son, Jonathan. Remember, David and Jonathan were very close friends. They were almost like brothers. Jonathan steps up and he decides, I'm going to beat the odds here. I'm going against all that's happening in the camp here of my people. And I'm going to do something, but I better not tell my dad. That's what happens here in chapter 14. In verses 1 through 23, you can read it all there. Jonathan had a positive attitude. That's number one. If we do not have a positive attitude to the odds and the situations and the circumstances that we face, we will fall into the trap of the children of God, like the children of Israel did in chapter 13. His positive attitude in verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines have their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. Meanwhile, oh, by the way, if you're still living with your dad and mom, please get their permission to do what you want to do. Unless God tells you to do it, right? Afterwards, you can tell them. Only if God tells you. Saul and his 600 men were camped on the outskirts of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Listen to this. Saul and his people were sitting in the pomegranate grove enjoying the pomegranates. Among Saul's men were priests. They were all ready to go. But now, no action there. But if we go down to verse 6, let's go across the outposts of those pagans, Jonathan said to his armor bearer. Perhaps the Lord will help us. There it is. The Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. Take that for 2021. If the Lord is with us, then nothing can hinder the Lord in the situations and circumstances that we face through 2021. That's the kind of people God is looking for today. And I trust that we will be those people. Nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. It's right there in chapter 14, verse 6. This is what Jonathan's saying. This is the kind of God we have. Let's go. Verse 7 says, do what you think is best. The armor bearer replied, I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. Pastor Rod says, Charles, this is what we're going to do. This is what the Lord is saying. Guess what I'll do? As long as I'm here, I'll say, yes, Captain. Oh, sorry. Yes, Chief. We'll do it. Because if God says it, that settles it. Let's do it. Do what you think is right. All right, then, said Jonathan. We will cross over. And let them see us. This is confidence. This is trust in God. This is a positive attitude. This is unmistakable courage because God was with him. If we said, as I preached last week, if we say, Emmanuel, God is with us, we need to remind ourselves of that. We're very forgetful of that when we face circumstances, situations. We need to say, Lord, you are still with me regardless. And in verse 6, we notice there, that is irrefutable faith in action. I trust you, Lord. I know you can deliver us. I'm going. And his dedicated assistant, his armor bearer, verse 7, he was so dedicated. You say it, Captain, I'll do it. I'm with you. This is what we should be doing today as God's people. And in verse 8, his unflinching bravery. All right, and then Jonathan said, let's go. We will cross over and reveal ourselves to the enemy. That's bravery. Let's go face them. It doesn't say that Jonathan was taking a whole army with him. The record only says he's got his armor bearer with him. That's all. Two people. David was one man put to flight the whole Philistine army. And here's Jonathan again, doing the same, similar thing. In verses 9 and 10, it's so conspicuous, their trust in the Lord. It's so conspicuous. It says, if they say to us, stay where you are, or we'll kill you, this is what Jonathan's saying, then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, come on up and fight, then we'll go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them. Think about it for a moment. Jonathan and his armor bearer fighting that army of 3,000 chariots and 6,000 charioteers and a countless army. Think about it. And Jonathan says, we will go. That'll be a sign. We'll go fight them. And you can read on, but in verse 13, so they climbed up using both their hands and feet to climb up to where the Philistines were. And before they came there, Jonathan found God had already gone ahead of him. God saw his faith. God saw his confidence in him. God saw that he trusted him for deliverance. And God honored that. Verse 15 says, suddenly panic broke out in the Philistine army, both in the camp and in the field, including even the outposts. And raiding parties that were going to raid the Israelites. And just then, an earthquake struck. Think about it. And everyone was terrified. You see, God intervenes supernaturally. We forget that. We're living on the natural. And we forget that God is supernatural. We must come to that position of realizing God can do the impossible. It's because we don't see it today. We need to see it more and more. But because it only comes through faith from God's people. William Carey, the pioneer missionary to India. You remember him? What a man. I studied his life when I was younger. And I preached it at a place. Shared his life at a conference. They wanted me to do that. But his motto was this: expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. That is what God is looking for today. Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. It's the other way around. As we stand on the threshold of 2021, I've just given you an overview of those two chapters. And it may appear as though Satan has the upper hand in our world today, in our society today, in wherever we're living at the moment. And that all the odds are against us in 2021 too. And some of us sarcastically are looking, saying, oh, I wonder what this is going to bring. As God's people, that's not the way we should approach it. We should say, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Remember, we serve an eternal God who is far greater than Satan or anyone else. We serve an everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Therefore, surrender to God's will and let the Holy Spirit work in your life throughout 2021. Surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit. Surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And allow him to change you. You don't want to go through 2021 just as we went through 2020. That's what I did when I stood at the threshold margin. I brought the new year in thanking God, looking back not only over 2020, but ever since we were married, and thanking him that he brought us through all those years. We gave thanks and we prayed, surrendered ourselves to him afresh. We had communion together, which we're going to do now, and gave thanks to God. What are you going to do in 2021? I've also made a commitment to read through the Bible, a plan to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me to read through the Bible chronologically. And I've started already doing that. I want to read through chronologically through the Bible again to get my facts right. We too can beat all the odds just as Jonathan did, with a positive attitude, with unmistakable courage, with irrefutable faith, with unflinching bravery, with conspicuous trust in the Lord, and with yielding in confidence to our God. That's what God is looking for today. Will you be able to say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Count me in. Do not allow Satan to steal your joy, obstruct your victory, kidnap your children from his kingdom. Stand firm against Satan, our arch enemy. He will try to extinguish our daily prayer life. He will try to hinder our daily worship. At least, I'm saying daily worship because we should be worshiping every day, not just on Sunday. Worship in your car. Worship in the home. Let your children hear you worship God. Let them grow up with it. He will try to ruin your daily peace. Don't let him have the victory. Through Jesus, we can. Put on the whole armor of God, Paul says in Ephesians 6:11. And you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. I want to close here before we turn to communion. We must decide today to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. We must be feasting on his word on a daily basis. We must be enjoying intimate prayer life with him. We must be worshiping in a meaningful way with other people on a daily basis. We must be experiencing supernatural peace regardless of our circumstances. Not to rely solely upon our abilities or our capabilities, but to be totally dependent on Christ alone. He is the most powerful in comparison to anything else or anyone else in the world. I leave 4 takeaways with you. God's people have always met challenges head on, always. And we will meet them again this year. We too are God's people. And we can beat all the odds this year. Because it's got to be more of him and less of us. By not remaining stagnant for the rest of this year. Meet your challenges head on and be victorious. Ask God to build his kingdom here in BBC through 2021. I came up with this catchphrase, BBC is the place to be. Amen? Well, 4 people said yes, and I'm happy about that. I say, BBC is the place for me. Let's stop there for a minute and say, Lord, if God has not spoken to you this morning, my prayer is that he will speak to you through this day. He spoke to me through those 2 chapters and challenged me last month when I was looking at it. And I said, Lord, I surrender myself afresh to you today. Did that last month. Did it again on the 1st of this month. And I want the Lord to use me. In all that I've been preaching, I've preached it to myself. Surrender to him today and let him guide you and lead you.